Would you turn back to 1 John chapter 1? The believer and sin. That's our subject. The believer and sin. Now, I'm speaking as honestly as I know how when I say that I believe myself to be a sinful man. I don't feel like I'm any better. I feel as sinful as I've always been. That's the way I feel. Now, is there something wrong with me? That's what I want to explore. David said in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity." And then the last part of that verse is, "And in whose spirit there is no guile, no fraud, no phoniness, no deceit, no hypocrisy." And notice he says, "in whose spirit there is no guile." Did you know that the natural man doesn't have a spirit? When Adam died, his spirit died. His soul didn't die. His body didn't die. But his spirit died. And when a man is born from above, they're given a new spiritual nature. This is speaking of the new nature and the pure heart that every believer possesses. Remember when the Lord came to Nathanael and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." This is the honest and good heart that receives the word. It's a new heart. Question: why is it that religious people present themselves not like I just said that I feel? I want to read some lines out of some of the hymns that are in our hymn book. And I think that's probably the best way I can express what I'm trying to express that religious people present. "I rise to walk in heaven's own light above the world and sin, with heart made pure and garments white, and Christ enthroned within. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay." What? What are you laying on the altar? "For the favor he shows and the love that he bestows are for those who trust and obey." Trust and obey. There's no other way. To be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. What about that person who speaks of things in terms of a higher walk? More holy, less sinful, and you feel like you're as bad and sinful as you ever were. You know you are, And you think, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Is there something wrong? Why am I like that? Why am I not like them? Well, let me answer that question for you. Look in verse 8 of 1 John chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That person has deceived themselves. It really is that clear. They may really believe it's true, but it's because they've deceived themselves, and something called the truth is not even in them. Look in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned. Well, at least in that area I didn't sin. Well, Scripture says we make him a liar. Because he says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And his word is not in us. The new nature. When we make some kind of claim like that, what we prove is we don't have any idea what sin is. We don't have a holy nature that understands what sin is. And that's why we would make claims such as that. An unsaved religious man just doesn't know what sin is in the first place. Therefore, he glibly makes the claims of verse 8 and 10. If we say we have no sin, and if we say we have not sinned. These are false claims. Now we read in the three verses, let's read these three verses again. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. Now we read in these three verses of sin, sins, and sinned. The believer and sin. Now, the first question we need to deal with is, what is sin? It's a good question, isn't it? What is sin? I remember one time years ago when MTV was on TV and they were interviewing people about what they thought sin was. And I thought that was so amusing. Everybody came up with something that they didn't do. And that's how they arrived at their definitions. Yep, this is really bad. So-and-so does this. But what is sin? Not what do you call sin. What does God call sin? The first verse of Scripture that I wrote down is this. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. The plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, if there's anything that seems like a wholesome activity, it's plowing. Let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to a grassroots level. And maybe you're plowing to supply food for the hungry and the poor. That seems like a very noble thing to do. But the Scripture says the plowing of the wicked is sin. If a wicked man does it, that makes it sin. Now this lets us know how little men understand about sin, because we certainly wouldn't look at a man out plowing and feel that man's sinning. But the Scripture says the plowing of the wicked is sin. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9, we read, the thought of foolishness is sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not generated from faith, whatever it might be, it's sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anything that falls short of the glory of God is sin. James said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I think my personal favorite definition of sin from the Scripture is what John says in 1 John 3:4. Sin is transgression of the law. I love God's holy law. I admire what it tells us about God. Let me go over the Ten Commandments. The first commandment is the commandment where it says you're not to put anything before God. The second commandment is the making an idol. You ever made an idol of anything? Are you doing it right now? The third commandment is about taking His name in vain. When have you ever used the proper reverence for that holy name? Have you ever kept that commandment? The fourth commandment regarding the Sabbath day. And it's to teach us something about rest. Have you ever rested? Have you ever kept the Sabbath? The fifth commandment is about honoring your father and mother, honoring authority. The sixth commandment is thou shalt not kill. You're not to murder anybody. Somebody says, well, I kept that one. Well, have you ever slandered somebody? Have you ever murdered their character? The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the commandment against all sexual sin, mind or physical. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. You ever taken something, or are you doing right now, taking something that doesn't belong to you? Taking glory where glory is not due. Taking credit where credit is not due. Stealing from your employer, the work you should be done. There's so many. Robbing God of glory. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Telling the truth. Thou shalt not covet. Being perfectly content. Sin is the transgression of the law. And when I go over the Ten Commandments, which I admire, and you know they don't scare me because I know I've kept them. Somebody says, try to keep the law. Trying to keep the law won't get it. It's keeping it. Being perfectly obedient. And I have kept God's holy law in Christ Jesus. I don't try to keep the law. I've kept it. But when I look at God's holy law with regard to me personally, I've not kept one commandment one time. And somebody that believes they have, all they demonstrate by that is they have no idea about the spirituality and the depth of God's holy law. I think of when that man asked the Lord, what's the greatest commandment? And He said, to love the Lord your God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. You know what that means? That means I'm continually committing the greatest sin. Because I don't love God like that. I wish I did. But in and of myself, I don't. I certainly haven't loved my neighbor as myself. Somebody says, I love my neighbor as myself. You're a liar. You do not. Nobody ever has. Sin. Sins and sin. Now, I don't want to trivialize my sin. I don't want to look for an excuse to sin or for an excuse for my sin. But these scriptures ring so true to my personal experience. I hear these people talk in this lofty terms of their victory over sin, but boy, these scriptures, they're me. I'm thankful for these. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin. Now, I brought this out before. That's talking about our nature. A sinful nature. There the word is a noun. It's not talking about an actual thing. It's talking about a sinful nature. Now, if I say I don't have a sinful nature at any time, I've deceived myself. And I've lost all credibility. The truth is not even in me. Now, look how Paul talks. I want to look at several scriptures, but this is the one you know where I'm going to in Romans chapter 7. First, I want to read verse 24 where he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Not that I was before God saved me, but that I am. You know, I've heard people argue about Romans chapter 7 saying Paul was speaking as an unbeliever. Well, if you think that, you're an unbeliever. It's that simple. Look in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, I would be without sin. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." You wouldn't have heard Paul saying anything like that, would you? "I have no sin. At all times, I am aware of an evil nature." The wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, "There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Psalm 130, David said, "If thou, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who should stand?" Now, I'd like you to look at this with me. Isaiah 64. But I want to read verse 8 first to see that Isaiah is speaking as a believer. He's speaking as a believer. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father." That's what a believer says, isn't it? "Thou art our Father." Now look at what Isaiah has to say. Look at the last phrase of verse 5. "For we have sinned, and in those is continuance. And we shall be saved." Verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do fade, we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There's none that calleth upon my name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and consumed us because of our iniquities." That's the confession of the Old Testament prophet. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we're the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand." Now, I could give scripture after scripture that back up what I'm saying. So what would cause a man or woman to make this claim of, if we say we have no sin? John gives two reasons. Number one, self-deception. If you say something like that, you've deceived yourself, you've lied to yourself, and made yourself to believe the lie you told yourself. That's what he calls it. Self-deception. And then he says, "The truth is not in you," the truth of the gospel. You're unable to even recognize sin. You've lied to yourself, deceived yourself, and the truth is not in you. Look once again at verse 10 in our text. 1 John chapter 1. if we say that we have not sinned. And there, the word is a verb. Regarding anything that I do, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. When's the last time you sinned? Right now. Right now. Well, I wasn't sinning. Then you don't know what sin is. Right now. Once again, it's only a holy nature that can recognize this. No holy nature, you're blind to this. You know, the person who makes this claim regarding anything they do, here's what I thought. They're that person whom God described in Psalm 50, "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as yourself." Well, I don't think I've sinned, therefore God does not think it. No, He does. He does. He knows better. He knows. If we make this claim, at least in this action, I didn't sin, we call him a liar because he says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Am I saying that this action measures up to the glory of God? That's what I'm saying if I say I have not sinned. If a man makes that claim, not only does he call God a liar, but the word of Christ does not dwell in him. He does not have a holy nature. That's the only reason he would make that claim. The believer in sin, now, I always have this sinful nature, and everything I do is sin. Now, I guarantee you, the average religious person that would hear that would say, "Well, you ought not be preaching that." Oh, yeah, I should. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what the Word of God actually says. Somebody says, "I don't feel this way." Well, perhaps you need to find out why you don't. Now, let me say two things before I go to verse 9. What I'm saying is what the Bible teaches. Amen? It's truth, isn't it? And number two, this measures up to my experience. Now we look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's what we do about our sins. We confess them. Now, confession, understand this. Confession is not the mere admission of guilt. Pharaoh, after several of the plagues, said, "I and my people have sinned. We're wicked, and the Lord is righteous. I sinned. I and my people are wicked, and the Lord is righteous." Now, there was an admission of sin, but it wasn't a confession of sin. Balaam said, "I've sinned," but he still went after the money. Saul, King Saul, said, "I've sinned," but he was so insincere. Judas, "I've sinned, and that I've shed innocent blood. I betrayed the innocent blood." All these men made an admission of guilt. But admission of guilt, admitting something like that, is not the confession of sin. Not at all. Achan said, "I've sinned," but he was still stoned. Confession, if we confess our sin. Confession means literally, that word means literally to say the same thing. To say, to speak the same thing. What that means is when you confess your sins, you speak the same thing that God says about your sins. You agree with what God says about your sins. You take sides with God against yourself when you confess your sins. It's not just saying, well, I admit it, I did it. No, there's a complete agreement with what God says about your sins. That, and that alone, is the confession of sin. Now, I remember reading the Scriptures. You're familiar with David. He'd been in this hardened state for so long. And God sent Nathan, the prophet, to him. And the prophet Nathan, you can read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 12. He told that story of that farmer who had a little lamb that he loved that little lamb just like a daughter. It actually ate at his table with his kids. And he loved it and treated it like a child, and his rich neighbor had a whole lot of sheep. And a man came traveling through, and he didn't want to give up his sheep, so he went to his neighbor, stole it, killed it, and fed it to his neighbor. And when David was hearing that, he was getting so mad. He says, as the Lord liveth, that man is surely going to die. He's going to be killed. And I'm going to make sure it happens. And Nathan said, thou art the man. And you know what David said? I've sinned against the Lord. Now with that in mind, he wrote Psalm 51. Let's read a few verses of Psalm 51. These titles are inspired. These are not man-made. These look at the title, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. So this is what he's talking about. It was after Nathan confronted him and said, thou art the man. And he said, I've sinned against the Lord. And he went and penned this psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Whatever you judge against me is right. You see how he's taking God's side? I'm on the Lord's side. I agree with whatever he says. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, that's the branch that was used to put the blood over the door, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, in most translations, you're going to say, he says, what he's saying is, make me willing. Make me willing. Then, anyway, you can go on reading it, but this is an agreement with God. What he's taking sides with God against himself. And that's what it is to confess your sin. Psalm 32:5, I said, I've confessed my sin, and thou, Lord, forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now, think of this statement. If we confess our sin, he's faithful. He's faithful to forgive our sin. There's never been a sinner in the history of the universe that confessed their sin before the Lord and he failed to forgive them. He's faithful. He's always going to forgive that sinner who comes before him like David did, confessing, taking sides with God against himself. But let me give you another reason why he's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to forgive them because they've already been forgiven. They've already been forgiven. They were forgiven before they were committed. Do you believe that? It's so. They were forgiven in the Lamb's slain from the foundation of the world. Of course he's faithful to forgive those sins because they've already been forgiven. And it also says he's just to forgive those sins. It's an act of justice. It's an act of His absolute, pristine justice and righteousness to forgive the sins because of the great, glorious truth of justification. That sinner has been justified. I think of the publican in the temple. Oh, he was agreeing with God, wasn't he? God, be propitious. Be merciful. Take away my sin. There's nothing I can do to take it away. Oh, would you be appeased? Would you be propitiated through the blood sacrifice? He understood the gospel. He's not making any big claims about himself. And what did the Lord say about him? He said, I say to you, that man went down to his house, what? Justified. Justified. Without guilt. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Isn't God glorious? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that cleansing we see from verse 7. Look in verse 7 of our text. We touched on this last week. If we walk in the light of how He saves, by His grace through Christ, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us. And that word is in the present active tense. Why is that important? Because there's not a second when I don't need cleansed. Not a second. And thank God the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. He's faithful and just to cleanse us continually. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Now, what I've been saying, is that somebody looking for an excuse to sin? Or justification for their sin? No. No. These things write I unto you that you sin not. All this stuff I've been talking about why a believer is so sinful and everything he does, he says, I'm writing these things to you for this end, for this purpose, that you don't sin. The gospel doesn't give any more excuse for sin than the law does. These things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, and that word if is sometimes translated when, it's not talking about the possibility that maybe you might not, when you do, we have an advocate, a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now there was a time when I was under the complete dominion of sin and didn't know it. I didn't know it. The fact that I didn't know it shows I was under its complete dominion and power. Couldn't see that that was the case concerning me. I thought if I could just get in the right situation and in the right circumstances and where I wouldn't be tempted and all this, you know, going back, I could get in the place where I could do better. I could quit sinning. When I felt that way, I was under the complete dominion and domination of sin. When God saved me and gave me a new nature and caused me to see my sin and not make these false claims, I don't have any sin, or I haven't sinned. By God's grace, and by God's grace alone, I don't make those false claims. But you know, I say in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the believer and sin. Let's pray. Lord, give us the grace to truly confess our sin and to have complete agreement with what you say. And Lord, how we thank you that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and you're faithful and just to continually cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Lord, how we thank you for the gospel of thy Son. Now bless this word for your glory and our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We got 309. We'll stand and sing.